Hello everyone, and a very warm welcome back to Footprints. Now, how much thought have you ever given to the Wanstyck? You may remember Wanstyck District Council, which existed between 1974 and 1996, but you may not know much about the giant earthwork it was named after. Wanstyck stretches for 35 miles, linking Savernake Forest near Marlborough to Maze Knoll, just south of Bristol. The eastern section in Wiltshire is the best preserved, but today we want to explore the western section, the piece that starts at Monkton Combe and runs through to Maze Knoll. Many questions surround the construction of the earthwork. Who built it? Was it maybe the Romans or the Saxons or someone else? And why was it built? And where exactly did it run as it passed by Bath? The Wanstyck's been the subject of debate and misinformation for decades, and today we'll try and make sense of it. Later on in the show, we'll find out from Historic England how they go about protecting ancient monuments, and we'll zoom over to the Netherlands to hear from a Dutch archivist who has been pretty passionate about the Wanstyck earlier in his life. But let's start with friend of the podcast and local historian Mike Williams. He's going to show us around a section at Odd Down, just up near the Park and Ride, and then at the end of the show we'll head up to a second section at Stantonbury Hill Fort. I started by asking him to describe where it runs.
The Wanstyck, or what we call the Wanstyck, stretches from the Savernake Forest in Wiltshire all the way to at least as far as Maze Knoll, which is near Bristol, and possibly went a bit further all the way up to Clifton, but we're not sure about that bit. But we kind of divide it into three sections now. So we've got what we call the East Wanstyck, which goes from the Savernake Forest to Morgan's Hill in Wiltshire. And then from there up to Barford, it's a completely straight line, almost completely straight line, and thought to be a Roman road. And then we've got the West Wanstyck, which is what we're concerned with at the moment with this podcast, which goes from Odd Down all the way at least as far as Maze Knoll, possibly as far as Clifton. And we're not entirely sure if they're all part of the same monument. The East Wanstyck is almost a complete monument. It's a continuous bank and ditch going across Wiltshire. And then the Roman road, which may not have been part of the same structure at all, and it may have just been a feature that the Saxons later called the Wanstyck and mistook it for being part of the same monument. That's a complete monument, or was. But the West Wanstyck is more patchy. There's lots of sections to it, and there's some quite noticeably large gaps in it as well. It's unsure, actually, if it was a complete monument. It may have been unfinished, or there may have been reasons for them not filling in those gaps. One theory that I think is quite plausible is that there was a dense woodland in those gaps. We then need to think about why it may have been constructed, and there's several theories. We need to also think about when it might have been. I mean, there's several possibilities as to when it was built. So we've got around 407, Emperor Constantine III took the Roman military, who was stationed in Britain, to the continents to deal with the growing threat invasion from Germanic tribes. And this was effectively the end of Roman rule in Britain, and they kind of left Britain to themselves, and Britain fragmented into various tribal kingdoms. The Wanstyck may have been a boundary feature between those tribal kingdoms of Romanized Celts, or the Romano-British, as we often refer to them as. However, it may have been constructed a little bit later, because a few decades later we have the beginning of the Saxon invasion. So around sort of 450 to 500, we've got the Saxons coming in, and that was a huge problem for the British, who were left without the Roman military. They then had to defend themselves against the Saxons. So they could have constructed the Wanstyck as a boundary against the Saxons.
But you definitely think it was more likely built by the Romano-British than the Saxons?
Yes. I think the archaeological evidence suggests Romano-British. In the few places where it's been excavated and they've actually found things, they've usually been sort of Roman or Romano-British pottery and other artefacts. Also, the structure of the Wansdyke is very similar to other sort of Roman defensive structures and boundary structures. So.
Oh, what's this?
This is translations of the Anglo-Saxon charters relating to the Bath area. So these are, I think, mostly sort of from the 10th century Saxon charters. The thing about the Saxon charters is most of them record the boundaries in terms of landmarks. So they'll say from the ash tree to the stream, from the stream to the big stone, things like that. And in several places in the charters, it records the Wansdyke. Now, one possible explanation for what the Wansdyke is that it's a boundary feature. But by the time the Saxon charters were written, only one part of it was considered to be part of a boundary, and that is the Oddown section. And it's mentioned as a boundary feature in the charters for both what we now call South Stoke and what we now call Widcombe and Lincoln. It's a straight line, the southern boundary of Widcombe and Lincoln, and the northern boundary of South Stoke. So it's mentioned in two charters as a boundary feature. And then the Foss Way formed the western boundary of Widcombe and Lincoln. Now, it's very significant that it crosses the Foss Way or meets with the Foss Way, because that's almost certainly the reason why it was built in the first place.
Why would that be important?
Well, it actually crosses quite a few roads that would have been in existence at the time. So some of these roads probably were in existence for several hundred years beforehand, some of which were built by the Romans. The Foss Way was probably the most important road that there was at the time. It was essentially the Roman route from, I think, Lincoln in the north-east down to Exeter. It's almost like a motorway of the day. The Wansdyke may have been a military boundary. It may have just been a boundary feature to essentially control who comes through to that territory, so that could have included trade as well. It certainly crosses several other trade routes, but the Foss Way was the most important of those routes. What it does, it kind of blocks the route either side of the road, so that anyone going through has to go through where they want them to go through.
Yes, it sort of funnels the traffic.
Possibly performed more of that sort of function than a military boundary, because actually to have it as a military boundary and actually have that boundary manned permanently, that would have been a lot of effort and a lot of people involved, because it's such a long monument. So I think they focused mainly on the most strategic places, which would have been the roads.
You've got this amazing book in front of you. Tell me about it.
So this is the only book ever written on the Wansdyke, like completely dedicated to the Wansdyke. And it was written almost 100 years ago in 1926, based on a survey from 1925, so almost 100 years since the survey. And it has been heavily criticised, because they surveyed Albany Major and Edward Burrow. They surveyed the entirety of what they perceived to be the Wansdyke at the time, which does include pretty much all of the bits we now still think are part of the Wansdyke, but includes a lot of other places as well. They actually thought the Wansdyke extended as far as Portishead, which almost certainly didn't. There's very little evidence. And they often misinterpreted things like field banks and field ditches as being part of the Wansdyke. So heavily criticised on that front, but it's also a very important record of the places we now still think are the Wansdyke, because they drew them and described them, and some of these have been damaged or lost since then.
It's a very beautiful book, isn't it? It's probably the size of an A4 piece of paper, and it's got these beautiful maps and drawings in. Absolutely exquisite drawings. Look at that one. It's like a watercolour.
Yes.
They are. I imagine they are watercolours.
So most of the survey was done by Albany Major. He was an expert on earthworks. And the drawings were done by Burrow. He's a brilliant artist. Very detailed. This is his drawing of the Wansdyke at Oddown. And it's really important, this drawing, because this was done before there were any houses there. Now, we've got houses and gardens almost all of the way along this stretch here. And unfortunately, some of the bank has now been damaged by people extending their gardens partway up it. And in fact, this part of the Wansdyke is at risk. It's been marked down as at risk from things like that.
Okay, well, that makes sense. So let's go and see it, Mike.
Yeah.
So here we are at the board. That picture is very familiar, Mike. That was in your book.
Yeah, that's Edward Burroughs' drawing of the Wansdyke before the houses were here.
Here we go. This is the red line shows where it goes, doesn't it? This is amazing.
This is the odd down section, which is almost, I think, 3/4 of a mile long in a almost straight line round the back of the houses and odd down. And it has a very, very steep bank. It's one of the most impressive sections of the West Wansdyke, I think. Unfortunately, it's obscured from the view that you would have had because of all the houses in front of it.
So pretty much, apart from a small section between English Coombe and Newton St Low, I suppose, we can track it from Horsecombe Vale all the way over to Compton Dando. Then there's a bit of a gap through Woollard, and then it comes up again to Maze Knoll Hillfort.
So these gaps that we've got, they may well have been wooded. In fact, we do know there were large areas of woodland around the English Coombe back in the time of the Domesday Book.
So this is a very nice little wide path, but this is not the Wansdyke itself.
We're actually on top of the Wansdyke right now.
Oh my gosh, we're on the Wansdyke.
So we're at the top of the bank, and it actually slopes down into these gardens. Soon we'll be able to see a good section of the bank, and you'll see how impressive it is.
That's extraordinary. We're right by a school. You can hear the school children. Must be break time, I reckon. That's on one side, with some football pitches on the right, a row of houses on the left. Oh yes, you can start to see it sloping away on the left. I mean, you'd be forgiven for thinking you were on a disused railway line, wouldn't you?
There's actually some evidence that this may have been originally part of a Roman road.
Yeah, it's very long and flat, and it reminds me of the Bristol to Bath railway line, the way you come up steps to get to it.
Hmm.
It's very definitely a few metres above the road down there.
But what this did do is block off everywhere between the Foss Way and Horsecombe Vale. And once you get to Horsecombe Vale, it's very steep terrain as well, and that wouldn't have been a good place to use as a trading route. So
we're coming to the end of this long, rather beautiful, wide open space to a gate. We were just in Bath by the Park and Ride, and now we're literally 2 minutes walk away next to a huge field, Mike.
Yes, and on the other side, actually, it's bordered by a stone wall just beyond these trees, which has been there since the 18th century, at least. We'll probably only go a little bit further along here.
So if we were to walk all the way to the end, would we end up at the top of Horsecombe Vale?
Yes, that's roughly where it ends.
We'll come back to the Wansdyke later on, but Mike mentioned there that the monument is on the at-risk register. So that made me think about who looks after these ancient monuments. Melanie Barge, an inspector from Historic England, kindly agreed to tell me about her work.
So Historic England, so we're an arm's length government body, public body, and our role is to help people care, enjoy and celebrate England's amazing historic environment. And we also provide expert advice to the government on historic environment matters and provide advice to local councils, owners, occupiers, anyone who's interested about managing and the amazing archaeology and buildings that we have in this country. So I'm an archaeologist. That's how I started my career. And I now work with an amazing title, Inspector of Ancient Monuments. So we are tasked with originally inspecting these monuments in its original form, but now we basically provide advice on scheduled monuments to people who own them, to local authorities, to developers, to anyone who is having any interaction with these sites. Scheduled monuments are essentially archaeological sites that have been deemed to be of national importance, and so they've been added to a schedule or a list attached to, and you'll love this, the Ancient Monuments and Archaeological Areas Act 1979. And that act is the act we work under, but it's only the latest in a very long line of acts that have been in place since 1882 to protect archaeology in this country. And the first inspector, and there was only one originally, was the Lieutenant General Augustus Henry Lane Fox Pitt Rivers. He was deemed one of the most influential archaeologists of the around the 1900s, and helped form, you know, the archaeology as a profession as it is today.
So one inspector then, many now. How many scheduled monuments are there on the list then?
There are just under 20,000 within England, and I would say that Wales, Scotland, and Northern Ireland have their own schedules, and ostensibly originally under the 79 Act, but with devolution, they now have their own acts and their own protections. But they also have inspectors of ancient monuments as well.
And that was my next question, really. You're saying they're ancient monuments, but are they all ancient?
No, they're not. Surprisingly enough, no. Of those, I mean, the majority, when the Act was first came forward in 1882, it was mainly to protect the prehistoric monuments, so Stonehenge, Avebury, you know, the big monuments everyone knows so well. But now we protect everything from those prehistoric monuments all the way through to Cold War sites. Essentially, it's any archaeology or any site that is deemed to be rare, a rare survival, or really tells a part of the history of our nation and how that has contributed to how we are now and how we are as a nation now. The Greenham Common, it's quite a good one. They are now scheduled, bits of that.
I think I read that on your site.
Yes.
So thinking about Wansdyke, or the Wansdyke, we're not never quite sure how to talk about it. It is a scheduled, well, is it a scheduled monument, or
It
are bits
is.
of it scheduled?
Bits of it are scheduled. So, as I said, we have the West Wansdyke and the East Wansdyke. The East Wansdyke is mainly within Wiltshire and survives quite well. It actually follows quite a lot of the old Roman roads. Around Bath and Bristol is the West Wansdyke. And across that, there are about nine separate scheduled parts. And these represent the best preserved bits of the earthwork along that line. We in the council have over the years had studies done on the line of the Wansdyke to try and find the rest of it, the missing bits in between. And in some places, they just don't exist. Now, whether there were other natural features in the way or whether they've just completely been removed by later agricultural practices that were, you know, 100, 300, 1,000 years ago, who knows? But what we're left with is the best preserved bits, and they're protected as scheduled monuments.
And so, what does that mean then, Mel?
It basically means that if no one can undertake works on the site without consent from the Secretary of State, the Department of Culture, Media and Sport, but we act as advisors to the Department and the Secretary of State and provide them with guidance and recommendations on whether works can happen or not. And this may be anything from a farmer replacing a fence post to a developer wanting to put up a load of houses. So, in effect, a landowner has to apply for consent to do works. And most landowners, you know, they're managing these sites as part of their farmland. Most of these monuments are within farmland. Ploughing is allowed if it was being ploughed at the time of scheduling because it's already done its damage. Part of the Wansdyke at Oddown is still, the scheduled area is quite wide there, so part of it is within the ploughed field.
Your website lists the Oddown section of the Wansdyke as being on the at-risk register.
The Heritage at Risk Register was something that's been, oh gosh, been part of our existence for quite a long time now. And it's basically a means for us to be able to say, to look at these monuments and buildings and conservation areas and other sites and kind of go, well, is there an issue here that, that now at Oddown, what part of the issue is that there's vegetation growth along the line of it, which isn't controlled for various reasons. And we've also got visitor erosion where people are walking over the monument. If we put it on the Heritage Risk Register, it highlights it as being a bit of a problem. It means that we and the owners and other funders can actually prioritise it for funding. There's not many of us and there's a lot of monuments, so we have to prioritise our time quite stringently. So we can only spend so much time kind of helping a monument along. So if we've got it on the at-risk register, we know we can keep going back to it. Don't get distracted by something else. We need to keep kind of going back and working with the council or the landowner to try and find a solution.
Gives it another line of protection, really.
Yes. Yeah.
So finally, Mel, obviously all listeners will be interested in what is in and around Bath. We know about the Roman connections, we know about the Georgian connections, but what else have we got in and around Bath that
Oh,
might
lots.
have heard of?
So, Bath, as you know, is surrounded by the hills. And on a lot of those hills, there's a lot of Iron Age archaeology. So, we look somewhere like Salisbury Hill. We have the Salisbury Hill Fort, Iron Age Hill Fort. Bath Hampton Down by the university there, and the golf course, there's a large, early, possibly late Bronze Age, early Iron Age defended hilltop. And then on Lansdowne, above the racecourse, there's again another Iron Age hill fort and other features, and a whole Roman, little Roman town, little Roman village, which you can still see the earthworks. So there's all sorts of things around Bath like that. And then there's kind of the later stuff. So over in Newton Park, where the Bath Spa University, they've got a bit of a castle, and part of the castle is still used. They were using, last time I visited, they were still using it for giving lessons or tutorials. They were still had rooms within the actual bit of the standing castle. The rest of it's all buried, but knocked down and buried, but this bit's still standing. And then if we go a little bit further, we go to Salford on the river. There's a Salford Brass Works, which is an amazing survival of the brass industry, the 18th and 19th century brass industry, which obviously has very unfortunate, it's all tied in with the slavery and the triangular trade. But it's an important part of our history. It's an important part of the history of Bristol and Bath, the industrial. So yes, there's all sorts of various places you can go and various things you can see. And I think the best way to kind of find this is, if you want to find some archaeology or find sites to go and visit, you can do search the list on our website. There's an easily map that will navigate to where you are on your smartphone, and then will tell you what assets, whether it's a listed building or a scheduled monument or a park and garden or a battlefield. Of course, we've got the battlefield at Lansdowne, the Civil War battlefield as well, with a fantastic trail around it. There's some good interpretation up there, some good walking up around there. And Know Your Place West. It's run by the archives and councils, and it's all the other archaeology that isn't designated and all the other interesting bits and pieces. So that's a really good resource for trying to find out what's in your local area and just go out and explore. There's heritage all around us, everywhere you look. And I don't think people really appreciate it, what's there. But actually, we've done research which shows that connecting with that, just going out and connecting with that, provides huge health benefits, mental and physical. Walking is really important. And if you've got something you can look at while you're walking, it's even better. And you can kind of connect with some bit of history as you spot as you walk along a towpath or along the bathscape skyline, which is always a great thing to do to get out on a nice day.
Thank you so much, Mel. It's been absolutely brilliant talking to you.
That's fine. No, it's been great. Thank you.
Mel Barge from Historic England. Now, next up, as part of researching the Wansdyke, I came across a website called Wansdyke Project 21. It appeared to belong to a Dutch historian, and I wondered how he came to be so passionate about it. Here he is to tell us.
My name is Robert Vermaat. I'm a historian by training. I'm a civil servant by trade, by profession. I work for the local county. I work for the archive officer, I think you could call me best. Documentary information officer, I think it would be some English translation. That's why yesterday fell through, because in a neighboring county, about 6 miles from here, they found a bomb, World War II British 500 pounder, and they frantically searched for information from earlier research into World War II explosives. So we had to do a bit of extra work.
I bet you did. And my apologies.
Oh, no. Not at all. I mean, you're not responsible for dropping the 500 pounder.
So, Robert, when I was researching the Wansdyke, your name came up almost immediately because you've set up something called Project 21. Tell me all about that and why there's such a in-depth website dedicated to all things Wansdyke.
I think it started with a bit like the same way that I got interested in history, Roman history, a book by Rosemary Sutcliffe. I started with Eagle of the Ninth. It was the book about the legions leaving Britain, and it was a very nice book. And it mentioned the battles between Ambrosius and Vortigern. And as part of a peace settlement between the two, it mentioned the building of a frontier demarcation. And me being also a nut for ordnance survey maps, I looked it up, and hence Wansdyke came up. Well, it was long before internet, and getting information about Wansdyke was next to impossible. I mean, the only book I've ever seen published about Wansdyke is this very large volume, a local production from someone, whereas Offa's Dyke has these massive bath guides, etc., etc. I recall writing an article, I think I was 17 at the time, to Professor Edel, and she was the head of the Celtic Studies department in the Netherlands, University of Utrecht. But that's where it all started. And with the internet came the contacts, with the contacts came the articles, and I started Project Wansdyke 21. 21, 21st century. Wansdyke still plays a part in my studies and my activities, but a very small part. So your request for an interview came a bit as a surprise.
Yeah. Well, it's quite a big website, and I guess so you were trying to pull together all the information that was currently available when you put it
At the
together.
time,
So you mentioned, you showed me the book that you've got on the Wansdyke, which is very thin, and another one on the Offa's Dyke. I mean, Offa's Dyke, you can walk along Offa's Dyke. I've done it. Why is so much more being written about Offa's Dyke? Is it just that we know a lot more about it?
I could think of two main reasons. One is Offa's Dyke is later, and it figures in many more sources, so we can tell much more about it. The second one, it has a very big long distance footpath. That was one of my attempts to promote the building of a longer Wansdyke footpath. Of course, there is a Wansdyke path along East Wansdyke, but West Wansdyke is a bit forgotten. It's not that accessible, it's not that visible. One of the ideas of my Wansdyke 21 project was to promote the possibility of the creation of a long distance footpath for Wansdyke, not only the east section, but also the west section, and maybe even the section so-called mid-Wansdyke section, which is the Roman road, the London to Bath road, of course, as one project. And if it's a larger footpath, then it will generate much more interest, and from the one comes the other, in my opinion.
It would be great to have a long distance Wansdyke path. So, Robert, have you visited it? Have you been over here and walked the Wansdyke, walked bits of the Wansdyke, and had a good look at it?
Parts of it. I've been to East Wansdyke in the mid-90s a number of times, and I've been to West Wansdyke also, but only once, and only the terminus on Maze Knoll, south of Bristol. So that's 3 times, only 3 times.
More than many, many people who live quite near it, probably. We
It's
know
a
that it's an earthwork. We don't know quite why it was built, unless you know more than I've found out. But are there many earthworks, do you think, in the UK? Are there earthworks in the Netherlands?
You have so many earthworks in the UK. You trip over them, I think, just about with every trip you make on foot. Prehistoric ones, Iron Age ones, Roman ones. This is either late Roman or early medieval. Medieval ones, of course. People can be jealous. But it is also because in the UK, these earthworks are documented. I mean, there are also earthworks in the Netherlands, smaller ones, later ones from the 80 Years' War against Spain, but they have received neither the attention nor the protection they would have liked to have in the centuries after they were constructed. Most have been plowed out or otherwise disappeared with modern agriculture, which is still one of the dangers for especially West Wamsdyke, being not a recognized monument. Even Opmasdyke, a few years ago, I recall that there was some locals who removed a section of Opmasdyke to create a parking lot or something like that. Yes, we have them, but it's like the hill forts. The UK is dotted with hill forts. I think in the Netherlands we only have three, two of them being 9th century, so early medieval, so they don't really count.
It seems to have got to you in a way that it doesn't appear to have got to anybody much over here.
That's what my wife says when we were in the UK and I wanted to visit yet another uni village, hill fort. She sighed and she moaned a bit about, so what are we doing here? And for me, it's history coming alive. Maybe more than for others. I don't know. I mean, I am a historian. I have a vivid imagination. Once I was with a few friends in Old Sarum, and I must say in Old Sarum because it was late at night and we climbed the gates. And at some point, I got the feeling you shouldn't be here. And that was not about the science of English heritage, but something at the back of my neck. I don't know. I don't know. But indeed, it gets to me more than it would get to a regular person. Maybe that's why I got into reenactment as well, making something visual and trying to get it across to other people is what I like to do very much.
Thank you so much, Robert, for talking to me today. It's been absolutely fascinating. Thank you very much.
I must make one more remark at the end. You're talking about the Wansdyke. I've been told it's Wansdyke, exactly like it's not the Opmasdyke or the Hadrian's Wall because it's named after Woden. And so Woden is a personal name. So therefore, not the Wansdyke, but Wansdyke. It's a small thing. I'm nitpicking, I know, but something that I wanted to get across a bit as well.
Very important. Thank you for drawing my attention to that. Thank you.
If you look at the name, it's a name of a pagan god, like Grimm's Ditch. Woden's Dyke represents a non-Christian worldview. And if you would build a whole new earthwork, and there have been estimates about how many people and how many hours there were put into the building of the monument, either East or West Wansdyke or both. I cannot imagine that you would give that a name from a pagan god. You would choose either a king like Offa, or maybe a saint, something like that. But for the name Wansdyke, Wodensdyke, to be present in the older charters, so in the mind of the people who lived there. I mean, if they had called it St. Paul's Dyke or St. Peter's Dyke, it would have shown like that. But only the oldest charters call it Eldendyk or the Old Dyke, and then you see Wodensdyke coming up. But never something Christian. That's why I hope that Professor Fowler, who that's all already 20 years ago, theorized that it was built either in the late Roman period, late 4th century, or the early 5th century. It's also unfinished in places. He establish that very nicely. It controls the roads. It does not control the landscape. It's not like Offa's Dyke or Hadrian's Wall. That's why I like the original theory by Rosemary Sutcliffe, who wrote that in the 1950s, that it was a demarcation line agreed between two parties who did not have the upper hand, more like, well, we got to here, we have clashed, we have hit both our heads, let's make here a demarcation line here. Truth be told, nobody really knows. So thank you very much for asking me. It was nice doing this.
Really nice. That was Robert Vermaat on his passion for Wansdyke. Now let's get back to it and see a bit more with Mike Williams.
So where are we going to go next, Mike? We're going to go and see another part of the Wansdyke.
We're going to go see quite a different part of it. So we're going to go to Stantonbury Hill Fort. Which is an Iron Age hill fort that would have been built at least 700 years before the Wansdyke was constructed. But the Wansdyke uses part of this hill fort as part of the line of it. And we'll see more of that when we get there.
Excellent. Let's get going. It's quite windy now. Right, Mike, we've parked up in Stanton Prior, which is at the bottom of the hill leading up to the hill fort, which is about a stone's throw from the Bathscape area, isn't it? Even though it's slightly outside.
Yeah, it's just outside the Bathscape area, but it's visible from a large proportion of the Bathscape area, so I think it counts.
So we're going to count it in for the purposes of this episode.
It's also where the Wansdyke is headed as it passes through the Bathscape area. So,
well, there we go. I guess we're at the base of the hill fort now, with a line of lovely oaks, aren't there?
Yeah. So we're coming up the back of the hill fort, which is the south of the hill fort. The bit we're actually going to see is on the north face, which is where the Wansdyke itself joins with the defences of the hill fort on the north face. These days we call this Stantonbury Hill Fort, but actually the Saxons called it Marksbury. Marksbury means border hill fort. So at one point it would have been on a border. But interestingly, the Saxon border went a bit further to the north of the hill fort, so it may have been a boundary before the Saxon charters were written, but by the time they were written, it no longer was the boundary.
Here we are, Mike, on the top. So it's a meadow now, isn't it?
So this is the top of Stantonbury Hill Fort. It was built in the Iron Age and would have been occupied at some point. We're not entirely clear on the purpose and function of this particular hill fort. Unfortunately, a lot of it has just been ploughed up over the centuries. There's very little in the way of remains, so we don't know if there are any huts here or anything like that. So it could have just been for defensive purposes, but it could have been at some point occupied as well. But what they did do, what the Celts did do when they built this place, they used the north face as a defensive feature. It's a natural scarp that's possibly been slightly modified, but that was the northern defence of this place. And that is used by Wansdyke. Wansdyke does come up on the eastern shoulder and connects with the northern defence of the hill fort. It then uses that defence, so they didn't build the Wansdyke along the north face of the hill fort. They use what was there already.
Yeah.
And then the Wansdyke then continues over the west side. And we'll go see the two places where the Wansdyke meets the defences shortly.
Yeah, let's go. So we're going round the eastern edge. And sloping right the way down to the left of us is the escarpment Mike was talking about. Going past a huge, beautiful specimen of a lime tree. It's absolutely enormous.
So we're walking east along the top of Stantonbury Hill Fort into a grove of conifers in search of a section of the Wansdyke. I feel like we're coming to the edge. So we think we're here. It's very overgrown, isn't it? I'm following Mike and we're cutting away from the track into the woodland on the hunt for the Wansdyke.
So here we are, you can see this big bank. It's quite overgrown now, but we've got this big bank in front of us and a deep ditch in front of it, which would have been the boundary, and that is the Wansdyke. This goes all the way down the east side of the hill, and it's quite a large bank until it hits the road. The road at the bottom we think is a prehistoric salt way that would have been here before the Wansdyke was built, and the Wansdyke potentially is a barrier that crosses that road on purpose to control access along it. I think it's called the Heerpath in the Saxon Charter, which means a road that the military may have been able to walk along. But historically, we think it was probably a salt trading route, possibly iron ore was brought along that route. And it probably went up to Saltford and then to Lansdowne and then joined the main sort of ridgeway that went all the way up to Worcester.
Well, it's very visible here, isn't it? It's so clear that that's a big bank. Because that tree over there is probably 2 or 3 metres above this tree just here.
Yeah, it would have been quite a formidable defence and quite a formidable boundary. Whether or not it was used for defence, we don't actually know. But it's from the top of Stantonbury Hill Fort. If you were to remove all of these trees in front of us, which have probably grown up since the Wansdyke was built, you can see all the way along the route of the Wansdyke, probably as far as Englishcombe. And it's probably from here they actually planned out the Wansdyke. And when we go to the west side, it's probably a similar story from there. You can see as far as Compton Dando, which is where the Wansdyke runs to a place called Fairies Hill, to a field called Peppershells, just below Fairies Hill.
Well, that's really exciting. It's really exciting, Mike, to come up here and see it. It's so very, very huge and visible, isn't it? I mean, that ditch is metres down. I can't believe that oak tree is so far up in the air, the roots of it. Yeah, let's go and have a look at the west side. From east to west. So Mike's just said, here we are, and I didn't know what I was looking at. But now I see this enormous bank in front of me is the very western side of Stantonbury Hill Fort, and this is the section that leads down to...
So this goes down to... it crosses the road just beyond the Two-Headed Man junction. It goes past a house appropriately called Wansdyke House. And this heads towards Compton Dando. So this is where it joins the pre-existing Iron Age defences of the hill fort. This is the Roman or probably Romano-British Wansdyke. And this at one point, it went all the way down the hill to the road. Unfortunately, about halfway down, we've got an arable field and the entire bank has been ploughed out over the centuries. So we've lost that bit. But it does continue the other side of the road.
It's fabulous to come here, Mike. Thank you so much for showing me so much of it that I sort of knew was here, but I've never seen before.
Oh, my pleasure.
Well, it's blowing up a gale now, Mike, so I think we should get down before we get absolutely drenched.
Yep.
The cows were lying down. I take that as a sign.
Thanks so much there to Mike for taking me round the sights of Wansdyke in what was increasingly terrible weather. Well, that's it for this episode of Footprints. Thank you for joining me. Don't forget you can listen to all the previous episodes anytime you like, and please share as widely as you can with friends, family and colleagues. And for more information on Bathscape, visit the website bathscape.co.uk. Thanks too to the National Lottery Heritage Fund and players of the National Lottery for supporting our work. Footprints was hosted and produced by me, Pommy Harmer, and I'll see you next month.